Thank you for listening to this audio recording from LimoPlanet 2020 Free the Future. The following talk was presented at LimoPlanet, the Free Software Foundation's annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology. For more information on LimoPlanet, visit limoplanet.org/conference. LimoPlanet is a live conference with speakers who often use visual slides in their presentations. We have only selected talks for this audio feed that do not overly rely on visuals, but if you would like to see a speaker's slides, they are available at media.limoplanet.org. LimoPlanet speakers do not represent the Free Software Foundation. As part of our mission to show how important free software is to everyone, we have speakers talking about their use of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take positions on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedoms of all computer users, LimoPlanet is made possible by thousands of individuals who, like you, donate what they can. To keep this work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss.
Okay, hello, LibrePlanet. My name is Jim Garrett. I'm the room monitor for the Freedom Room. So that's where you are if you are streaming this. It's my pleasure to bring in Nishant Sharma, who's going to be speaking on the Gandhian way to freedom and privacy. I also want to mention that you can follow this on IRC, on the #LibrePlanet_room_freedom channel. And I'll be reading that channel, collecting questions. We will hope to have 10 minutes for Q&A at the end. So post your questions and I'll collect them and we'll get to those. And I'll pose the questions for Nishant. So with that, I'd like to welcome Nishant. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Hello, LibrePlanet. First of all, I would like to thank and congratulate FSF and everyone behind the organization of LibrePlanet, who have kept the health and safety paramount along with the fight for our freedom. Be the change you wish to see in the world. This is a quote by Mahatma Gandhi. 2nd October 2019 marked 150th birth anniversary for him, who played a pivotal role in India's freedom struggle. So to reintroduce, my name is Nishant Sharma. I'm from India. Here I run a free software and liberated hardware networking company called Unmukti Technology. And here are certain disclaimers. First of all, I'm not a Gandhian thought scholar. Gandhian thoughts are ideology. They're said to be the set of religious and social ideas adopted and developed by Mahatma Gandhi. Disclaimer two, I'm not a history scholar. And in fact, I never liked studying history in school. But as they say, history is not kind to who do not learn the lessons from it. Let's see how it goes today. Why the theme is Free the Future? Does that mean we are not doing something right in the present, which is endangering our future? Or have we done something in the past which was not quite right, which has brought us to our present? So let's talk about our present first. These days, we are giving up our privacy for convenience. When we consider privacy to be an individual affair, we are lured with free of cost services and devices that promise convenience. And then we easily get compromised and let go of our data, privacy, and freedom. For example, a company comes and says, see, here is the new smart car that you can talk to. It can automatically inform the manufacturer if something is not right. How convenient. but it is also keeping track of your movements. How many people do you generally travel with? And a lot more. So gradually, our society is being reduced to data generating machine. We are generating data each and every minute. When we are sleeping, the tracker knows that we are asleep, and it also knows about our quality of sleep. When we are listening to music, our profile is updated with our music choices. So almost every business today is after our data. Even the internet service providers, they also want our data. Internet is federated by design, but the federated structure is in danger, as most of the data is now controlled by organizations which capitalize on it by abusing our rights and freedom. For example, a majority of email accounts are with the big corporates which provide free of cost email services. But then they store our files and photos and other information. They analyze it and they use it to generate revenue for themselves. When we talk about censorship and internet shutdown, it has become very common in various countries. My country, India, leads the way in number of internet shutdowns. Government colluding with corporations, is it simple outsourcing or collusion? We do not know at the face of it, but we will get to know sooner or later. Here are certain examples. So, Samsung, one of the prominent manufacturer of appliances, they warn that their smart TVs have mic and they record living room chatter. Now, they just not record it, but they also share it with third parties. And then once it leaves our living room, we do not know what is happening with that data. Let's take another example of Roomba, a very popular robotic vacuum cleaner. So Roomba launched a new variant, which they said has some smart features. But in order to access those smart features, you need to accept their terms of service. And one of the conditions was that Roomba will create a map of your house and upload it to the servers. To their servers. Now, if you do not accept those terms and conditions of the service, you have a Roomba device which is not smart. Talking about ISPs, Verizon, very popular service provider in the US, they assign a unique identifier header to every wireless user. And if you read the lines that I have marked with the arrow, it's from their website, the FAQ. It says, we do not share information that identifies you personally as part of these programs other than with vendors and partners who do work for us. Now, who are those vendors and partners and what kind of work they do for them? Your data is being shared by the ISP, even if all of your traffic is encrypted. They can see the metadata. They know where are you going. Now, when we are talking about ISPs, I have a personal anecdote to share. One of our prospects, they wanted to start a fiber to home ISP in Vietnam. And they wanted to explore whether we can help set up network for them. On digging a bit deeper, we came to know that they were offering this internet service free of cost. And their business model was to analyze users' data. When we came to know about it, we pulled out of the project. there is a latest one when President of the United States addressed a press conference where he declared that Google has 1,700 engineers working on a website right now, which will collect which was supposed to collect health information of US citizens and then help find testing, whether those persons require testing for COVID infection or not. But now Google has retracted that they are not doing anything like that. But we are not sure whether this is outsourcing or it is collusion. The cost of convenience, we get the convenience, but what is the cost that we pay? For example, if we look at 2018 SEBI filings for just advertising revenue of the two giants, the F company reported $55 billion of advertising revenues, and the G shop, they reported $116 billion. So we have to realize collectively what is the cost that we are paying for the convenience in tangible terms. The intangible damage, we do not know how big that is going to be. So now let's travel back in the past, and I will take you around 300 years back. So there was a startup in London. It was called East India Company. They wanted to export Indian textile to the world. So basically they were a trading import export kind of company. To start a company, you need funds. They approached Indian bankers and financiers in the 17th century. At that time, those Indian financiers and bankers were one of the world's richest bankers. And since East India Company paid loans back on time, they built a good reputation. So when they issued company bonds to the Indians, they were lapped up by everyone who could afford. Now with money comes power. So they became one of the largest employers of the Britain. And then they also created a mercenary army, which gradually grew up to 200,000 strong, which was double the size of the British army at that time. So, all right, you may say they wanted to protect their assets. That's why they built that army. But then when we look at the fact that Indian rulers delegated or outsourced revenue collection to the company, that mercenary army was used to collect taxes and revenues from the farmers and villagers. So, most importantly, that company also secured rights to issue passport to British people who wanted to visit India. Now, why this is important? Just assume that some investigative journalist wanted to visit India, but the company didn't issue a passport to him. So all the wrongdoings or maybe the arbitrary laws which were enforced in India, they were not reported back to the people in Britain. What kind of arbitrary laws are we talking about here? For example, these arbitrary laws came into the picture later, but first they offered good price for Indian textile, and then they offered good price for Indian produce. So farmers were happy providing selling their produce to the East India Company, but then the farmers were encouraged to grow opium. First they were encouraged, then they were forced, and they were also forced to grow indigo. Now this opium bought from India was sold in Hong Kong, and the money which was earned in Hong Kong was used to buy tea from China, and that tea was used to be exported to America. Then they enacted Tea Act in collusion with British Parliament, which allowed free imports of tea to America. And also they enforced salt tax law, which prohibited Indians from manufacturing or selling salt. And if they manufactured, there was very high tax on it. So Indians could only buy salt from British rulers. So how did America react to Tea Act? There was Boston Tea Party. So all the tea which was on board the vessels, it was thrown into the harbor in Boston. And this was the triggering point when American Revolution started. In a similar manner, how did salt law was opposed in India? Mahatma Gandhi, he started a 300-mile march along with more than 60,000 of followers. And then that law was broken by collecting salt by evaporation. So this was also a turning point in India's struggle for freedom. Okay, let's get back to the company. Now, with the corrupt practices, company failed. It crashed, but basically it was too big to fail because it was the largest employer in Britain, so government has to bail it out. After that, the British government officially took over India from the company because the government was the largest stakeholder in the company and company was ruling India. Then when Industrial Revolution came in 18th century, more exploitation started. So the large textile mills came up in Britain. So for large textile mills, a large amount of raw material like cotton was required. So Indian cotton was getting exported to those mills. And the finished goods, which were expensive textile and clothes, they were being imported in India. So Indians were selling cotton at low cost, but they were forced to buy finished goods at higher cost. And remember, I talked about farmers were forced to or coerced to grow indigo. So indigo was used to fulfill the desire, and the fashion in those days was, people used to like blue clothes. So indigo was used to color the textile, which in turn destroyed India's hand-woven textile industry and also destroyed Indian farmers who were forced to grow indigo, and that also endangered India's food security. Then what happened? Khadi movement started. Mahatma Gandhi started in 1918. So what is khadi? Khadi is actually a hand-woven and hand-spun cloth. It can be made of cotton, wool, or silk. So the yarn or thread is made by spinning the spin wheel, and then that yarn is put upon hand loom, where the textile or fabric is made, and then that handmade fabric is stitched to make clothes. So this was promoted as an ideology for self-reliance and self-governance with a vision of ending dependency on foreign material and rule. So if you look at it as an ideology, it is so empowering that the basic need of clothing for a human, we can and one can spin the wheel to create the yarn and then make the fabric and then make clothes for himself. So this is the spinning wheel, which is called charkha in India, and this is a hand loom on which the yarn is put to create textile or fabric. Now the charkha became such a strong symbol of self-governance that it was adopted by the Indian National Congress for the Indian National flag, but finally it didn't make it to our current flag. So let's come back to the present. Can we now compare 18th century's industrial revolution with today's big data revolution, which is thriving the surveillance capitalism? For example, the companies or corporations which are churning our data, they get financed by people from our society, the investors. Then they offer us free of cost services in the name of convenience. And they gather data, our data, at really low cost. Then they process it, analyze it, process it, package it. And then again, they sell it to, say, for example, advertisers, which are again part of our society. So ultimately, it's us who are getting exploited. Is decentralization the answer to counter the surveillance capitalism? So the quote by Mahatma Gandhi during Khadi movement, without decentralization of cotton cultivation, universal manufacture in villages may not be possible. So the data is the raw material for these textile mills, these data churning mills, which are processing the data. I call them data predators. So if we can cut the feed to these data predators, can we take back our freedom and privacy? Is self-hosting self-reliance? For example, if we own our devices, be it computers, be it networking router, be it wireless access point, and then we create the networks and networking services like email services, chat services, maybe voice and video conferencing services, or the so-called cloud services, where we put our data. So there are storage services. It is all possible to build all these services, devices, and networks using free software and liberated hardware. That way, we own our data and we safeguard our freedom and privacy. For example, I want to self-host an email server for myself and my friends and family. But in the times where email services are prominently centralized, and most of the email accounts exist on, say, Gmail or Microsoft powered services. So when I try to send out email from my own email server, it will either end up in spam on Gmail or it will not get delivered to Microsoft. And even if I configure DKIM or SPF or every other measure according to the standards so that it doesn't get identified as spam, it doesn't work. So if a community or a self-help group or a cooperative society comes to help me, where they can host an SMTP relay for me, would that work? So we can build community networks. We can host services for community members. For example, I want to host a matrix server for instant messaging, but I'm not capable of doing that. I know I have to use it. So if my local community can host a matrix server for its members, wouldn't that empower me? Wouldn't that give me a choice to move away from data predating services? So once we become self-reliant in our communication and computational needs, for computational needs, we are mostly self-reliant, because we can generally install operating system and software of our choice. But with communication and networking services and devices, we do not have a lot of choices. In the worst case scenario, when government presses the kill switch, which is internet shutdown, which we have seen happening a lot in India. So if a community has a mesh network, which may be wired or wireless or a hybrid network, and community hosts services for its members, then internet becomes an optional service to communicate within community. At least I will be able to communicate to other people who are part of my community. So if different communities can create such kind of networks and host certain services which are federated, then an internetwork of those community networks can be created, which can be helpful in tackling scenario when government shuts down internet and people cannot even communicate or call up to, say, seek an appointment with the doctor. That's all right, but the real-time road traffic? Yes, so we know a lot of us are stuck with data predators only for this, because we get real-time traffic information while navigation, and we can change the route on the fly. So OpenStreetMap is a very good option for navigation. But then, can we build something together to solve the problem? I think I had searched and found a few projects, but I don't know whether what's the status of those projects. But yes, solving this problem requires a lot of computational resources, a lot of data sources, which these big corporations are getting, which these big corporations do have. Most important thing is to have data sources. So we need a critical mass where we contribute with our location data to some entity which we trust that they are not going to misuse our data. So the trust factor. Why do we trust community hosted services? So if metric service, email service, or maybe Nextcloud service is provided to me as a member of a community, how do I trust that my data is not going to be misused? Or as a service provider, how does the community trust the member whether that member is not going to abuse maybe the SMTP relay service that is being provided? So why do we trust? And how do we retain that trust in the long run? And how do we verify that trust? So how do we verify that whatever is promised is actually delivered to us? That is a one-time task. But then on an ongoing basis, how do we evaluate that trust repeatedly? I do not have answers to these questions. I wanted to put this question up so that everyone can think, and this discussion can be carried on to other forums. A community is only as strong as an individual, and every individual's choice and actions affect the community. So, for example, a community member is not happy with seemingly imperfect product. Seemingly imperfect. We all know that we can improve the service or the product offering by developing it. But if someone is getting restless and looks at and wants to get away from that, then that is going to affect the community. So now you might say, okay, there was nothing new in this talk that we couldn't have figured out ourselves. We always knew it all along. So it's not that people couldn't have figured it out in India or USA or South Africa. But Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela, they had to organize the movements, lead them by example, and threaten the power structure. Similarly, the people in free software movement have already also figured it out. And maybe RMS is one person who has led us by example, who also has courage to threaten the power structure. But then what it takes for us to stick to the principles together and keep the movement strong. So So here I will leave you with a parting quote by Mahatma Gandhi himself. But through Khadi, we teach people the art of civil obedience to an institution. We can replace institution with ideology or philosophy, which they have built up for themselves. Only when they have learned that art can they successfully disobey something which they want to destroy in the non-violent way. So if we make right choices, we can protect our privacy and we can protect our freedom in a non-violent way without feeding our data to the data predators. Thank you.
Thank you, Nishant. We actually have a fair bit of time. Does anybody have some questions? I know I've been reading the IRC channel. There's been quite a lot of enthusiastic, supportive commentary along the way with additional historical references. Might be good to go look there if anybody has more interest. I'm seeing clapping.
I'm also seeing clapping, but yeah. Thank you.
So I'm not seeing any specific questions on IRC yet. Hopefully some people can post some questions. I'll just start with one. I noticed you haven't made any specific technical recommendations or discussion. This has all been very sort of social, theoretic, historical. I think making the connection of what we can do, tying it back to Khadi, which is great to have a name for it, an idea for it. Okay, I'm seeing a question now, and I guess it kind of ties in. Linking Arrows asking, what services do you personally run? Do you run them for yourself or your local community?
All right. So I run an email server for myself. I host a Nextcloud instance for myself. And I offer them to my family and friends. But yeah, they are not actively using it because they think that it is seemingly imperfect product or service. But yes, as a principal, I'm happy using them. Okay. And I'm planning to host a Matrix server so that I can migrate my family and friends from non-free instant messaging systems to Riot and Matrix, along with a Jitsi instance.
Okay.
Yeah, and yes, so I also, I mean, since I'm in a business of building network equipment, so yes, I build network equipment. I run access points, which run free software on liberated hardware. I run gateway. Then I also run Tor on the gateway so that I can route all the traffic through Tor so that my ISP doesn't get to know what I'm doing.
Okay. We have another question. Do you ever compromise your principles to get things done? For instance, the questioner says, I have to use Google services because the community radio station I volunteer for uses it.
Well, maybe 6 months back, I was in the same boat. The question that I said, okay, there is no real-time traffic information. So I used to use Google's map services and navigation services on a separate phone, which was not de-Googleized. But yes, I do not have that phone anymore, and I'm living without Google's navigation aids for 6 months now.
Another question. Someone, and I'm quoting, someone said yesterday that the advertisers create and exploit addictions, similar to the opium sold to China. Is there any nonviolent precedence for dealing with these mass social addictions?
mass social addictions,
which I guess
advertisers, mass social addictions. All right, no, I'm not aware of such, but yeah, it sounds like a good question. Okay, I see another question, but I'm sorry, I do not have answer to that question of mass social addictions.
I'm not sure exactly what the mass social addiction you're referring to is. Yeah.
Netflix. Someone said Netflix.
Yeah,
so,
I'm not sure if it's the original poster, but okay. I know certainly Facebook put some energy into keeping people connected, keeping people engaged. I might call that an addiction.
Yeah, so we are being psychologically manipulated. So if you have Google services, and if you disable location history, Google will keep prompting you to check in or to submit review about some place where you are. Now, as soon as you submit the review, that location history service kicks on. So you are being prompted and psychologically manipulated to keep on generating data for them. Even Facebook would ask you, how are you feeling today? So tell everyone. Now, as soon as you tell everyone, a data stream is generated for them.
Is there anything you would recommend to listeners to go and, like, what's one thing that they could do to promote this idea of self-reliance in their community?
I'm sorry, can you please?
Is there one thing, let's say, that would be most important that you would advise people to start doing to help promote Khada in their community?
Okay, so Khadi is an ideology, and it means self-reliance. So you can be self-reliant only when you control that particular, for example, Khadi is for clothing. So when you control the whole process of making the clothes, you feel liberated. Now, when you are trying to be self-reliant in your communication and computational needs, so I see that a lot of people are just happy with liberating their computing system, maybe their laptop or their desktop or their handheld mobile device, but people do not pay attention to the networking equipment. They consider them as black boxes. I would advise them to start experimenting and not to get scared to build their own network equipment so that they can take control of all the equipments which they use to access the network.
What exactly would that entail?
All right, so maybe all right, so there are a lot of free software distribution to create your own networking equipment, like Access Point or Gateway Router. LibreCMC is one. OpenWRT is one. There are other distributions like pfSense. So people can create their own hardware, their own networking equipment using commodity hardware. So instead of looking for, okay, this is a new wireless access point which supports 802.11.ac, but the most of the AC hardware, all of the AC hardware comes with binary blob. So if you do not need AC, this kind of speeds AC promises, please stick to 802.11n wireless devices, because the Atheros card is completely free and there is no binary blob in that card. So you're sure that nothing fishy is going inside the binary and your data is not being snooped on.
Okay. I think we're coming, we have 2 minutes left. I don't know, are there further questions on IRC? I'm not sure if, I saw some comments that we were losing audio. I'm not sure, I think it's back.
Patriot?
Okay, we are having audio. Any further questions? Okay, here's one. How could corporations or corporates be convinced in using Libre tools? They in fact will get a lot of savings when compared to proprietary tools.
Right, so corporate decision making works in a different manner. In corporate, nobody wants to take responsibility. They always want someone to take care of stuff when things go wrong. Now, with proprietary tools and proprietary systems, they have someone to back on. And they think that with Libre tools, we are on our own. But no, we need more businesses and more organizations, more companies, which provide support, which help them deploy Libre tools and services and provide support so that they have someone to fall back on, because they no one wants to come in the line of fire when things go wrong. So that is the typical mentality that I could understand while running this business.
Okay, it sounds like a call to go start businesses, those of you who can.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our time. I want to thank you again, Nishant.
Thanks, Jim.
Presenting. And just one note, we'll be back in 10 minutes. And please refresh the link, because we're going to, I think if you just keep watching this room, you won't get to the next session. So just refresh your browser or refresh the link. Okay, thank you again.
Thank you. Cheers.